Hello, this is Bill Sparks from the Coffee Club. It's a little unusual for me to talk to you this way, but we had some real internet gremlins today, and the internet quality was not so good. We're going to feature Dave and Chris's demo of the PowerXL Fryer Plus, and you're going to hear that. And that's all you're going to hear today because, quite honestly, our comments were lost in cyberspace. But we will be back next week, bigger and better than ever. We were here. It just didn't work. And that's the way it goes on the internet sometime. And you can download this podcast and listen. And thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Well, today we are going to do the second part of the PowerXL Air Fryer Oven Plus. The last time we did the unboxing of the unit and described a little bit about it, and today we are going to describe the button layout, and we are going to fry some chicken. First thing I will do is let Chris give you some information, a reminder about this product.
Yeah, we've given this before, so I'm just going to kind of hit the highlights. They are available at Walmart. They're regular $149. I believe Walmart has them now for $142. We got ours for $119, but they've gone off sale. Sometimes you can find them on Amazon, sometimes you can't. You can probably also call the PowerXL people or go to the PowerXL website. The customer service number is 973-287-5197. That's 973-287-5197. If you want to buy one, they have a different number for buying, although I'm sure either number would get you to the right place. It is 800-200-5099. That's 800-200-5099.
Now, the last time we pretty much described the oven, so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn the oven around so that the display and the buttons are facing me, and I'm going to start from left to right. I'm going to start with the left-hand side, and I will read the buttons from top to bottom. In other words, the top of the front to the bottom of the front. The first button on the left is kind of like a long bar, and it has a dot on the top and a dot on the bottom.
It's a vertical bar.
It's a vertical bar. The top button is your temperature up button, and the dot on the bottom of that bar is the temperature down button. Bringing my hands over to the right, I will find another row of buttons going from top to bottom. The first button is French fries. The second button is chicken. And the third button is light. Now, bringing my hands on over to the right is another row with two buttons. The top button is steak, and the second button down is cake. Now, right in between the next row that I'm going to talk about and down at the bottom is the power button.
It's a slightly bigger.
Yeah, it is a little bit bigger button. The next row over to the right, the top button is fish. The second button down is rotisserie chicken. The next row over, going to the right, the top one is shrimp. The next one down is dehydrate. And the last one down is rotate. That's if you're using the basket. If you were using the basket, you would press the rotate button to make that basket start turning?
You would press the setting you wanted, and then you would, to make it rotate, you would have to press rotate.
The last row on the right has that long bar, kind of like it was on the very top left, with a dot on the top and a dot on the bottom, and the top being timer up, and the dot on the bottom being timer down. Now, on the inside of the oven, and we sort of described this a little bit earlier in the first part of the demo, inside the oven there are five slots on each side for your racks.
Now, that's not counting the wide slot that you slip the rotisserie rod or the rotating basket into.
Yeah, the slot for the rotisserie rod is about halfway down, and it's an open spot. It's a little bit wider than the slots that you put your racks in. And then, of course, the bottom is open so you can slide in your drip tray.
The drip tray will also fit in any of those other slots should you want to use it as a little cookie sheet or something.
When you slide those racks, whatever you're sliding into those slots, when it gets to the back of the back of the oven has cutouts, like the same as what the slots are, so that when you slide the rack or the drip tray in any one of those slot positions, it will hit one of those slots in the back of the oven to keep that whatever you put in there steady.
I would caution you to count your slots, because sometimes it looks even but it's not. You might have it one slot off on one side and it will still fit in there. So just be aware that to be particularly careful
right.
about getting in the same slot on both sides.
Yes, count the slots down. Like if you're going to put it in a third one down, you want to count down three on each side.
Because it can look similar. I almost did that once. So what we're going to do is we're going to air oven fry some chicken. And we're going to do it in two layers. Now, we've done this once before. And we air fried one layer. And we put another layer in the regular Cook's Essentials air fryer, and they came out pretty similar. So today we're gonna try doing two layers, and what I've done is I have a cup and a half of breadcrumbs that I bought. I like the crunchy kind, not the kind you make. I mean, you could make them and toast them, but that's a lot of trouble, and they're pretty cheap. So I have a cup and a half of breadcrumbs, a teaspoon of salt, and a half a teaspoon of black pepper, and I've mixed it all together, and I have taken, 8 chicken legs and 1 big, huge chicken breast, and I have dredged them in that. I did not use milk and egg. You could if you wanted to. I quite honestly think that's really good, but I find it also a pain in the neck, so often I don't do that. But anyway, I didn't have any trouble getting it to stick. One thing I do is I sprinkle some of that mixture on the plate before I start laying it on the plate after I dredge it, and that kind of helps some of it not to come off on the plate. You don't have to really preheat this oven, although you should add a couple of minutes if you don't. I tend not to, because it's just easier to get stuff in and out. Those slots, some of them are pretty close together, and it's just easier to get stuff in and out if you don't preheat it. It's not like a regular oven where you can stick the rack in the front and kind of bring it down and count. That's a little harder to do with this, so I tend not to preheat it. So I already have my chicken dredged, and what we're going to do now is we're going to go over, and although the racks are non-stick, I am going to oil them. I'm not going to spray them. I'm going to put a little oil in the palm of my hand, and I'm going to oil them, because that makes some of that batter come off a little bit better when you get ready to clean it up. Okay, so I have the lid off the oil. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pour. Don't get too close. I don't want to get oil on that. I'm going to pour some oil in the palm of my hand. And I'm going to just kind of smear it on the rack as best I can on the top and the bottom. I'm going to try to get my rack back in the slot I had it in. I'm using the second one down for the little basket rack. And I'm going to put some more oil in my hand. That seems to work pretty good. The reason I don't spray the racks is because that spray would go straight through and probably get everywhere. So I'm just using my hand. And I'm just oiling both sides, because one of the things I learned from last time is...
That's the second rack, right?
Yes, the bottom rack. Those crumbs seem to get stuck in the little holes. And they're easier to get out if you have the racks oiled. And the second rack is going to go in the bottom rack position, right down next to the drip pan. And the reason I'm doing that is because I have to have enough room between the racks to get the chicken in there. What I'm going to do, so I don't have to take my racks out again, I'm going to lay a paper towel across the door so I don't get junk all over the door. Just remember, if you do that, to take it off before you close it. Now, I'm going to start putting legs on the bottom rack. And I'm using the bottom rack because I don't think the breast will fit on the bottom rack. I think it's too close to the top rack. So I'm going to scoop my legs in long ways front to back, because I think they'll fit better that way. And I'm going to get three across the back. And I'm going to get one, grab my other plate over here. I think I'm going to get two across the front. And I put the little ends together because it saves a little bit of room. Okay, now I'm moving up to the top basket. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to lay my legs front to back. Whoops. And I'm going to turn them little end next to big end again. And I'm going to get four across the back on this one. I'm going to put them a little closer together because I need a lot of room for that breast. It's huge. I think this must have been a giant chicken.
Yeah, it could be.
And I'm going to try to get that breast in there. I hope I can. All right, we made it. So now, I'm going to rinse my hands quick, because I got junk all over them and I don't want to handle the buttons. I'm going to move my paper towel. I'm going to be careful when I move it so I don't dump crumbs everywhere. So you kind of pick up one side and then the other and then the ends and fold it together. All right, then now I'm gonna come over here into the buttons and I'm gonna use a preset. I'm gonna use chicken. And I'm gonna press it and I'm gonna wait and it will kick on by itself. Oops, no, I'm sorry. I'm gonna press power and then chicken.
That helps.
Yeah. There it goes. Yeah, if you press a preset and don't hear it beep, it means you forgot to press power.
Okay, we set a timer for 50 minutes, and at the end we will let you know exactly whether we had to add time to it or not.
It depends on the size of your chicken, so you really, if you haven't invested in a food thermometer, you really probably... I mean, I cooked for years and years without it and did just fine, but it's just easier with one.
All right, so we will wait and we will pause the machine, the recorder, until the chicken is finished, and we'll let you know how much time it took to do this. While we're waiting, we're going to explain to you the defaults of the presets on this unit?
Okay, I can tell you that on everything except dehydrate, this is not true for dehydrate. If you up the temperature or lower the temperature, it goes in 5-degree increments. And the oven itself will run from 150 degrees to 400 degrees. If you use the time up and time down, that moves it by minutes, 1 minute at a time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the default times and temperatures for the presets. And remember that dehydrate is going to be different. On the fries, it's 400 degrees for 15 minutes. That's the preset. On the steak or chops, it's 370 degrees for 25 minutes. On the fish, it's 390 degrees for 15 minutes, and these are all Fahrenheit temperatures. On the shrimp, it's 320 degrees for 12 minutes. On the chicken, which is what we're doing now, it's 370 degrees for 40 minutes. Now, my experience has been that I usually have to up the timer about 10 minutes, but we'll see, because, you know, it depends on how big the chicken is. For cake or baking, it's 350 degrees for 30 minutes. For rotisserie chicken, it's 400 degrees for 30 minutes. And here comes the different one. For dehydrate, it's 90 degrees. That's 90 degrees to 170 minute degrees. I don't know what's wrong with me. Dehydrate is 90 degrees to 170 degrees. And the time moves by 30 minutes. And it will run from 2 hours to 24 hours. And the default on the dehydrate is 90 degrees for 4 hours.
Okay, we are going to check our 50 minutes are up, and we're gonna use a thermometer, and I'll let Chris let you know what she's doing here.
I'm going to turn the thermometer on, and I'm going to stick it in this big breast right here. I don't think it's going to be quite done.
153. So the breast is going to have to go a little bit.
Check these legs down here, because they may be done. Wait a minute. Let the thermometer settle in. Yep, those are done.
The legs are done, but the breast isn't. Of course, it's a pretty good sized breast.
So I'm going to, I'm going to try to get the legs out. Okay, right now, my legs, for whatever reason, and they do this sometimes, they stuck just a little bit, so maybe I'm just taking a turner and just going underneath them to get them off, and I'm putting them over here on the plate, and my goal is to scrape some of this breading so that it doesn't burn on the rack. I just scraped a little bit of it off that was underneath the chicken legs, and I'm going to move that breast over to the middle and get it all unstuck, because it stuck a little. For one thing, I probably kind of crowded it. That doesn't help. I was making an awful lot. There we go. Now I'm going to put the rack back in. In just a second, as soon as I finish.
Is that the rack or the basket?
The flat basket, actually. Okay. I'm going to go back over here, and I'm going to use the same slots I used before, which is the second one down. No, I must have used the third one.
Third one.
Yeah, because it won't fit. There we go. Push the drip pan all the way back in. Now I'm going to start it again. And we'll check it again in about 10 minutes. Alexa. Sorry, you guys heard Alexa. We were setting a timer for Alexa. I thought he told me he had it off, but he turned it back on.
Yeah. It's a huge breast, so it obviously is going to take a little bit longer. Okay, we're going to check the breast one more time.
And the timer just went off, so that's probably a good sign.
Yeah.
Let's stick the thermometer back in there.
Use our trusty thermometer.
I wish I could get the chicken to come toward me a little bit. Maybe I can get the shell. There we go. Let's see, there we go.
It's making some frying noise.
It's done.
Okay, it's done. All right.
And here's what it sounds like.
70.9 degrees. Oh, be quiet, thermometer.
Let me turn it off.
I don't know if it's going to pick that up or not.
Yeah, it will. It picks everything up. Come over here to the chicken breast.
Okay.
Right here.
Yep. Nice and crispy, and it's not burned or anything like that. That's a good thing. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
Yep.
Well, the chicken's all done on the plates. Everything looks good. We are having chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, and green beans, and that just makes my day.
Yeah, because we've both been kind of ill, and we need a good meal.
And the breast is a Dave Rickard size. That's why it took so long. All right. Well, anyway, I will have Chris give you some information about the product one more time.
Okay, this is the Power XL Air Fry Oven Plus. It is available at Walmart, and it's available other places too, but Walmart seems to generally have the best price, although you should shop around, because any of you that have shopped on Amazon know that sometimes Amazon's prices are better and sometimes they're not. You can probably order it, well, I know you can order it by phone at the Air Fry Oven Place, Power XL, and their number is 1-800-200-5099, and this is the to order number. It's 800-200-5099. The customer service number is 973-287-5197. That's 973-287-5197. We should tell you, and I think we failed to mention it in this demo, although I think we did in the unboxing. According to the manual, it's 1700 watts. And that's all I know about it.
Okay, well, it did exactly what it was supposed to do when we fried the chicken, although we did have to advance the time a little bit. And I believe it was 50 minutes for the
legs
and an extra 10 minutes for this breast, but because of the size of the breast, it took a little bit longer.
And I did put the breast and some of the legs on top, and I put the other legs underneath.
Anyway, that's all the time we have for this demo. If you have any questions, you can email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or you may contact us if you have questions or comments about this product during the live on the air presentation at 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. Follow the instructions that you are given. When you're asked for the meeting ID, you will need 848-725-450. That's 848-725-450. Again, follow the prompts. When you're prompted for a user ID, just press pound.
Well, as I said, that's it for now for this demo. Stay tuned next week for another exciting demo.
And for the record, to wrap things up, the internet is working perfectly now. That's Murphy's Law. Have a great week, everyone.